overdue. We wanted to chop it up with you for a minute. You've been doing some big things. We've been really happy with your growth and everything from chopping it up in 203 with you a few years back and now doing all this, becoming the Prince of Yankees Twitter. We're happy you had the time for us today.
Nah, man. Thank you guys for having me on, bro. I'm excited, man. It's definitely been long overdue, but excited to talk some Yankees with you guys and hoping that we get a certain pitcher in the next coming days. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's everyone's on y'all about to watch. This thing seems like it's very overdrawn at this point. It's like when we're waiting for Soto, it seems this is even longer because he's going through the whole process of the visiting and like everything's all drawn out. Everyone's overreacted to reports. They're like, oh, it's over. They're like, oh, now the Yankees got him. It's just, it seems to change every minute.
Normal day in Yankees Twitter sounds like it to me. Anything's an overreaction at this point.
We were all tuned in to Soto's presser. He looks amazing in the Yankee hat, by the way. It was meant for him. He was meant to be a Yankee. Very great the way he spoke about winning and being his main focus and all of that. I'm bought into it. How do you think the vibes are going to be at the stadium when he's finally made his debut?
Oh, there's definitely going to be some real excitement out of the fans. You know, there's been some jokes from a couple of fans that, you know, some of the casual fans will come to Yankee Stadium and they're like, who is Calhoun? Who is McKinney? Like, we don't know any of these guys. No Judge. It's just, there's no words to put in what happened last season with the Yankees after the Judge injury. It's just everything truly did fall apart. Now you get Soto and everybody knows who Juan Soto is, whether you're a casual baseball fan, a diehard baseball fan, just a Yankee fan, you know who Juan Soto is. So the crowd and everybody's definitely going to be fired up. I think it's good that he starts on the road, in my opinion. You know, get his feet wet in the road grays, you know, produce against Arizona, who just went to the World Series, and we open up against Houston. So I definitely think it's going to be a spectacle when he comes into Yankee Stadium, and I know the fans are going to be fired up and ready to go.
The stadium's going to be rocking, Mario. Nope. Are you going to bring your Dominican flag?
Absolutely. I got it right here. I'm ready.
Yes. We need that Spanish culture back in the Bronx. We haven't had, like, any really star Latino players. Like, Carlos Rodon could have maybe been, but he wasn't last year. So it was like that authentic Dominican that the Bronx needs. Like, we need more. Me and Sandy have been talking about that culture. The Yankees need to spice it up, and they finally did it.
Thank God, man. We need some guys that kind of play with a chip on their shoulder. Obviously, JD, more towards the older side. Couldn't really do it in New York, but you got a guy who's just entering his prime at 25 years old. He's going to be ready to go, and I'm just super excited, man. I want opening day like tomorrow. I'm ready to go.
We need to wash away that terrible year last year, the worst season in 30 years in Yankees baseball. It was miserable to watch. There was not many fun moments, but now we're going to fast forward. So speaking of all this sort of stuff, we did catch your live stream. You were going live for 12 to 13 hours. Like, how'd you hold it down? Like, were there food or water breaks in there at least?
Yeah, I mean, I ate like a Chick-fil-A sandwich on the side, dude. I was I was starving, but I mean, I was just hoping for Soto. And then you see the reports, nobody's really giving updates on Twitter. And it was kind of bizarre. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but it's just, you're not getting any really reports, passings, not tweeting anything out. And it's like, are we doing like an Arson Judge 2.0? Like, is everybody just jumping the gun? But it wasn't just John Heyman. It was multiple reporters. Right. So it was somebody got the info, and I guess maybe everybody jumped the gun and they got the same info. But Passan's a guy that I guess until it's done, the guy's not going to tweet it out or make it official. So, you know, kudos to him. But, you know, we're just there waiting around. And I mean, I was on live, but I'm sure you guys were the same way, you know, not on live and just, you know, refreshing the phone. You got these fake accounts that people are retweeting. Yankees are flying back home that the deal is not going to happen. It was chaotic, especially with a player like that. And, you know, a lot of Yankee fans were feeling that the trade was going to fall through just the way it's been the past couple of years. And, you know, I don't know how you guys felt. You guys can give your take, but I was definitely worried for a bit.
Well, I was at the meeting, so it was a different vibe out there for sure. I 100% agree about Passan. The guy's goaded. He doesn't feed into any of the speculation. He just waits till it's over. Everyone else tries to do like, oh, it might happen. But Curry gives you confidence. He was tweeting that things were looking good. Joel Sherman's backing it up. We know JP Morosi had a wild ride, but he was one of the first to say it. Soto was going to be finalized early that Wednesday. So yeah. I was kind of just like waiting for it. I was the vibe there was like people were just waiting for something because it was a dead meeting besides that. Really, not much else took place. So we were all just hoping the Soto move would happen. I just kept asking people, I'm like, how's this thing going? Like, where are we at with this? And then people were just like, medicals, like, it's going to be all right. Just wait it out. Like, Hulk was like, it's going to happen. Just give it some time. I was like, all right, all right. And then it finally broke at like 10 o'clock Nashville time, I think, maybe 9 p.m. over in the East. And then it was just like, finally, this thing's done. It wasn't as much excitement as relief because, like, we've been talking about it for like 2 days leading up to it. So, like, it was just a crazy moment. It was cool to be there for it. And it's something that I always remember.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about it too, but I guess in, you know, when the season kind of ended, let's be real. Unfortunately, you know, the owner of the Padres ended up passing away, but I really thought that there was no way Soto was going to get traded. I was just hoping, you know, we can have a crack at him in free agency. I thought this offseason was going to be kind of just, you know, Bellinger was going to be the move, and I wasn't too crazy about him, but I really just thought Bellinger was going to be the move and Yamamoto, that kind of offseason, and you kind of go with that, Judge coming back, you know, healthy, Volpe year two, and it's like, all right, you know, that's what we're going to have to bank on. But then, you know, the reports come out that they take a loan out, and then Andy Martino, once Andy Martino kind of got me hooked on the Yankees are going to be one of the favorites, it's like, you know, after the season we just had, you want something to hold on to. You want it to be like, all right, you know, there's a real possibility for Soto. And then there's more reports coming out. You know, the Yankees are going to meet. They're you know, they're interested. They're calling them, things like that. It's like you're waiting, and then the winter meetings come along, and it's just there's no news, and you're waiting there patiently and just waiting for somebody to pull the trigger on the trade, and thank God it finally happened.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited that we landed Soto. I felt confident the entire time. I just knew he wanted to be a Yankee. And if he turned down, you know, he turned down $400 million to play in Washington. And it's just like he was meant to be here. And I can't wait to see him start. I want to go over some stats of his. Now everyone's talking about where do we put him in the lineup, right? yeah, so his splits at home and on the road, his average at home is 240, on the road is 307. He's actually better on the road. His on-base percentage, 398 at home, 422 on the road, and his slugging is, 604 on the road again. Now that he's in Yankee Stadium, of course, things are going to change a bit because that stadium is made for him. Just pitch to him inside, he's going to pull that ball right into the right field side of the stadium.
That short porch, man. That short porch is so appealing. And I love what he said when he was, you know, they were asking him questions about, you know, the short porch, things like that. He's like, I'm just looking to hit the ball up the middle. And I just think that's truly how he's going to be. If you make that mistake, you know, Randy Vasquez, unfortunately, he was one of the guys traded over. But you make that mistake, he's going to put it into the second deck. But I truly believe that he's going to, I don't want to say lead the league in doubles because he's not really that quick of a guy, but I think he's going to be a gap-to-gap kind of guy. If he pulls one and, you know, it gets over the support, great, but I think he's going to, you know, mash at Yankee Stadium.
That's interesting you said that because I was listening to the Yes Network yesterday and Lance was breaking down his swing and his mechanics. And one thing that they did that I heard Jack Curry said was sort of comparing him to Paul O'Neill as a line drive hitter and where how Paul O'Neill, they tried fixing him to make him a power hitter, but Paul O'Neill wasn't having any of that. And I think Soto's the same way. He's like, man, I'm just going to continue doing me. I'm going to hit, just like you said, I'm going to hit the ball just to put the ball in play and the home runs will come.
100%.
I think you guys make good points. And I really think Soto's going to abuse that left center gap. Like, I think he could lead in doubles because he's got a lot of opposite field power. That left center is really deep and unforgiving. So they might not all be bombs, but he's going to have some deep shots out there. They'll be easy doubles despite his speed. And, like, I think the base running stuff's overblown. People are like, he's not a good base runner. Like, I don't really care about that, honestly. Like, who gives a shit? And then someone's like, oh, it's another bad fielder and a base runner. You have that in Stanton already. Like, people are even still trying to knock the move. It's like crazy.
Dude, in our lineup, like, where would you put him, honestly? I would do two.
I mean, just I heard some Padres fans kind of saying that he loves to hit three no matter what. So,
oh, really?
I mean, you guys can give your takes on the lineup. I would hit Verdugo first, Judge, and then Soto. But, I mean, some of the Yankees lineups have been switching with Yes Network. I don't know if you guys have realized that. It's been LeMahieu first one day, and then it went Verdugo first the other day. And I don't know who's the person making up the lineups, but I'm sure that the Yankees will end up switching it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially with Dominguez coming back, hopefully in the middle of the year. But I feel like if you just let Verdugo lead off, then I guess towards like the deadline, if he's, you know, not doing too great, you can maybe flip him for like a starter or a bullpen piece. And then you just plug in Dominguez when he's ready to go in July or August.
What were your thoughts on Verdugo on that signing?
I don't mind it too much. I feel like when it comes to Verdugo, he's just a good leadoff hitter, kind of slap ball hitter, not too much power, but I'm excited for him.
Yeah.
It was like very surprised. We were all kind of shocked by this. Like when it first happened, me and Sandra were like, what the hell are they doing? And then like people were like, are they gonna, is this out on Soto? I was like, no, it's not out on Soto because they still need two outfielders. So like it was almost like a precursor for Soto. It was just warming everyone up. We needed something to get our juices flowing. It couldn't just be silent and Soto. We had to set the table a little bit.
Yeah, nah, definitely. I wasn't worried about that being like, oh, now you guys aren't getting Soto. I never thought that was going to be the case. It was definitely weird, but I mean, I don't know. He didn't have too many homers last year, so a lot of Yankee fans were like, oh, like, you know, this is a terrible idea. If it doesn't work out, guys, it's a one-year rental. That's my biggest thing. It's a one-year rental. It's not like you're locked in with him for 4 years. You're not paying him, like, you know, like a Cronenworth kind of contract, like a seven-year, like $80 million. No. It's a one-year rental, and listen, if it doesn't work out, like I said, I think they could flip him, but I like that he posted without the beard. He looks like a true Yankee.
He does look much cleaner like that, but for sure, our outfield is looking a lot better than what it did last year, man. It's now we got players to work with: Judge, Soto, Grisham, Verdugo, Cabrera, Florial, Everson, Dominguez when he gets back. That Dominguez and Soto combo, I am living for that.
Nah, I'm so excited to see Dominguez. Obviously, the Yankees will let him take his time, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think, like, the lineup construction is going to be unique. I would like to see Judge get the protection for Soto. So I would do Soto 3 as well. And Judge needs that good lineup protection. Lead off, I don't know. It's going to be, like, five different people, I feel like. You could rotate Verdugo, maybe DJ, Torres, I guess, against some leadoff stabs, and hopefully Volpe. If Volpe gets it going, he's the guy you want to lead off because of speed. Like, Volpe should be the leadoff hitter that gets himself.
That's for sure who I'd like to eventually lead off once he gets going. Volpe, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I was going to say probably more towards the end of the year. I think they just stick him in the nine hole, and then obviously Chirino or Wells. That should be interesting who's going to catch between those two. You know, a lot of people are like, Wells, you know, you got to get comfortable with Cole, and like, that's how it has to work. But I still think Trevino is going to be his guy at the end of the day. But not definitely. I could see the leadoff. You know how the Yankees are, man. I think it's always going to be Judge and Soto 2-3. But at the end of the day, I think it could be Torres. It could be Verdugo. It could be DJ. It could be Volpe. Like, it's going to be multiple different guys. You know how the injuries are.
With Wells, I can see a scenario he catches like 3 to 4 days a week and like he doesn't catch Cole. Like, I think that'd be cool. Like, let Trevi get some spots. Like, Wells should get the majority of the starts if things go well. Like, that's what I'm hoping for.
That was one of the most shocking players, I think, prospects, Wells playing in Major League Baseball. I was interested. I was waiting to see how he would do, and he fit in right well.
Nah, he did fit in well. And honestly, behind the plate, he was better than I expected. A lot of people kind of put it out that he was going to be, you know, not too great of a catcher. But I think he was pretty good back there. Grabbed a couple guys. He looked pretty comfortable in Houston. So that was exciting to see.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Grisham? Like, do you feel he has a good role? Or do you think he's kind of just like a throw-in? Or could you see him actually making an impact?
I just think with Grisham, he's definitely going to be a fourth outfielder. But I do know early in the year, it is super cold in New York. So, I mean, I could see him getting two or three starts a week, especially in center field, to keep Judge maybe like off his legs a little bit. You know, Stan's not going to play every game, you know, during a week. So I don't mind Grisham. I do hear that he strikes out a ton with the bases loaded with guys on base, which hopefully, I'm not, you know, not too crazy about. But as a fourth outfielder, I truly, you know, wouldn't mind it. I don't think he's getting paid too much. He's here for 2 years. And listen, we were going to have to either do Cronenworth, most likely. That was the report, or Grisham. So I'll take the fourth outfielder and Grisham. Guy who's a defensive first guy. But again, defensive first, but he's our fourth outfielder. So not too worried about him, you know. Honestly, I can see Grisham leading off actually at some points, you know, with the Yankees, thinking about that now. But I don't mind it as a fourth outfielder. I don't mind it at all.
He's like very hot and cold, and like he has some streakiness to him. Like we saw the hot postseason, he might get a little uptick at the stadium too, like with the lefty bat a little bit. He pulls the ball a lot. He does take his walks, but yeah, he does leave the bat on his shoulder. It's very selective.
Yep, that's the one thing I feel is gonna kill him, especially if he gets lower in the order, because you want to get guys on for Judge, Soto, Rizzo, depending who's in behind Rizzo, possibly Stanton or Torres. You want to get, you know, guys on base for them, but we'll see. So hopefully he can walk a ton, but obviously put the ball in play.
Okay, so with Soto, the greatest thing about him is that he walks more than he strikes out. He's an absolute beast, and his numbers are ridiculous. Like, his on base is over 420 for his career. Like, that's something the Yankees definitely need. And I think it's awesome that he's very selective at the plate. I'm looking through the numbers right now. He has in his last four seasons, he's walked more than he struck out.
Yes, no, his- I mean, definitely with him. I just think that, you know, taking the walks is going to be a big thing. You know, I don't think it's going to hurt, and he doesn't swing 3-0 a lot. He's a guy that will take, you know, I know it's kind of, people don't look at it much nowadays, but kind of working the pitcher's count, you know, try to get into the bullpen early, especially early in the season.
Yeah, he's led the league in walks three times, and he had 132 last year, and he's only struck out more than 100 times twice. So I think that's a really nice changeup.
Good. Well, his FanGraphs projections: 38 home runs, Jesus Christ, 110 runs, 107 RBIs. His OBP projected is first in the major leagues with 425 and 6.6 WAR, which is second in the major leagues. These projections are crazy. We need to go in and get a chip with him, like, now.
No doubt. Work on an extension as well. That's possible.
Yeah. That's a good topic. What would an extension look like for Soto?
I feel like I'm not too great when it comes to these, but me personally, all right, the guy's 25 years old, right? I'm not really worried about what the contract's going to look like in 13, 14 years from now. I'm trying to win now, trying to lock this guy up, not have him be, you know, able to talk to guys like Steve Cohen or any other teams. I don't want to have to worry about that. So, honestly, if you can do like a 12 to 14-year deal, I know a lot of Yankee fans are not going to be too crazy about this because the defense isn't great, but if you can give him north of $500 million, I don't think that's something he can say no to. I know it's not going to be close to $600, maybe, you know, $525, $550. I think that really gets it done, but I don't want to compare him to Ohtani because Ohtani's a completely different player. He's a unicorn. He's different, but I think $525, $550 would be something that Scott Boras can really look at, and he's like, all right, they're serious about keeping this guy around.
I think so, too. What about you, Julian?
I like that ballpark a lot. And we know how particular Boras is. He does not want the deferred money. So people saying the dude deferred stuff that Shohei did, like, let's get that out of our heads. Like, Boras wants his money and he wants it now. Like, he's not. Like, that's what the Nationals tried to do with their first contract. A lot of it was backloaded. They say it's 440, but it wasn't like all up front. They didn't want that. So I like the 12 to 14 year idea. Bryce Harper got 13 years and he was a little bit older. So that is reasonable. maybe like a 12 for 500 or like a 13 for 525, like max 550. I wouldn't go higher than 550.
I think that they offer him something like, I guess, respectable, kind of close to 500 million. I want to kind of be optimistic on that side. But, you know, if Boris is really like, I want to test free agency. But I think if you're the Yankees, you can, if the guy really wants to be here, you see his dad posting on Instagram. I don't know if you guys see that. But his dad's posting, you know, how happy he is that he's a Yankee. If you give him something that is respectable, like something close to 500 million, I think that he's like, all right, we can, you know, discuss, you know, something around that ballpark. Obviously higher, but I think we can get something done before opening day. I think it's possible.
So I think like 40-plus homers is real, like maybe max 45. That's what his over-under is at.
Yeah, if it's 45 right now on DraftKings, yeah, I was looking at that.
That's going to be an interesting wager to see if anyone wants to test their luck with that one. But if he gets that second WAR, that'd be sick. The reason that he's second is because Otani's not pitching, so like he has a chance to get the top WAR this year.
100%.
All right, so now that we've talked about the offense, let's switch it up and talk about the big name pitching targets for the Yankees, number one being Yamamoto. How confident do you feel? I'm like 70% that he will sign. How about you guys?
Julian, you can go first, Julian.
I'm in the 60-70 range as well. I want to be slightly over 50%, but I can't be too high just because how crazy this race is. Like, the Dodgers are a serious threat. They just got Glasnow, and they've shown no signs of slowing down. We know the Mets' money is crazy, so I feel like that's still the big three that everyone's been talking about. I feel like everything else is kind of just for show. Like, the Boston Red Sox have, like, no chance. I think it's funny they're even trying. Like, there's no way he's going there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, it changes, man. It's just, you know, the reports. I think Philly could possibly, but I really just think it's a two-headed race. I think it's Yankees and Dodgers. Yeah. I know the Mets, that was, you know, the number one target, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. But he wants to go to somebody that's going to compete this year, I'm pretty sure. I think it's either, you know, he wants to be with Shohei, he wants to be the second fiddle, or, you know, he does love the Yankees, and, you know, he wants to be a New York Yankee. I guess I'm like, at this moment in time right now, I'm like 60%. I'm like 60 just because the Dodgers, I know that they want to spend that money and he's cool with Otani and stuff like that. But does he want to be second fiddle? Yeah. I'm sure we'll find out within the next week. A lot of people are saying before Christmas. So, I mean, that's the hope. That's the hope before Christmas.
I think that's fair because his posting period ends like January 4th. It's going to be before Christmas, I think. I think he's like done with meetings too. I think maybe only Blue Jays are left. So I feel like we're going to know early to mid next week.
I think honestly, like this weekend or early next week, it's going to happen. What are your thoughts on the whole Dodgers situation? Like how they kind of like found a loophole in the system to do these deferred payments.
Illegal?
Why hasn't any other team done that?
I don't know any other athlete that can really do that, that's willing to do that. I mean, Otani makes so much money. And I mean, listen, we're talking $70 million a year. That's not like, you know, easy money. But I mean, I don't know how that's a – that's a thing. I don't know how it's a thing, but I guess he can afford it. He can do it. Yeah. And, you know, I guess good for them. Now they have money to spend elsewhere, and they might get, you know, they just got Glasnow and Margot, and now they might get Yamamoto, which is crazy.
It's like I didn't expect that to happen. They manipulated the CBT to a fiddle, and, like, everyone looked it up. They said the rules. They were able to do it. Maybe they'll change some things going forward. In reality, though, it's really a $24 million save because it ends up being a $46 million hit to the CBT still. But that's still a big 24 that they could use to get something else. Like, the fact he was willing to do that was unique. Like Mario said, this guy's, like, printing money wherever he goes. All the Japanese advertisements and all these endorsements he has. It's probably more than most people's contracts anyway, like, just their base salaries, I would imagine. So, like, he's living the life. He wants to be a Dodger. That team's incredible. You just have to hope they don't get Yamamoto at this point.
Of course he was okay with the deferred payments. He wants to win a championship. He said, get every player, any player you can. Let's go.
Yeah. Crazy. Anaheim.
Respect to him, man. Respect to him. It's just like he really wants to win that championship. And obviously, you know, they won the WBC and, you know, he went from Anaheim and now he's in Dodger Blue, which should be interesting. But this rotation, you look at it right now, man, I don't think you can afford. You losing Mike King, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
Obviously, Drew Thorpe, maybe he would have been ready this year to pitch. You got to go out. You have to get Yamamoto, man.
Yeah, and Brito, too. I mean, we gave up so much good pitching. Sandy wrote a great article about everything we gave up, and it's just like it's so much. And it was worth it because the Yankees had to do it. It was a perfect match, like you guys were saying. It was destiny. Yankees had what the Padres needed. He wanted to be a Yankee. It was a short list of teams that could afford him, so it was perfect.
It's not really a throw-in piece. I'm sure Sandy mentioned that in the article. I hate how people were saying, oh, you know, Brito and Vasquez were throw-in pieces, guys. It was not like that at all. Yeah. If you were looking towards the end of the season, Brito was out of the bullpen, and Vasquez as well, man. They got some big outs for the Yankees against some really good
tough teams.
So, I mean, they're just not throw-in pieces. That's not how I feel. Obviously, we're talking Soto. They got Thorpe. They got King. And they got two guys on top of that in Higgy, but – I don't think they were throwing pieces at all.
I agree. And going back to what you were saying, Mario, about our starting rotation, it's very iffy because we're not sure about Rodon. We're not sure about Cortez, what type of season they're going to have coming off injuries from last year. So the Yankees really need to try and pursue Yamamoto.
No, 100%. And I mean, I don't know if you guys are listening to like the hot stove on, yes, but it didn't really seem the Yankees were too crazy about Corbin Burns. I don't know what the package would look like. I know there's reports about Dylan Cease. I don't know if they'd be – I mean, that would absolutely – I know it's more about, you know, the Major League team, but that would destroy our farm system. Giving up Thorpe and King, you know, King being part of our Major League roster, and then you give up Thorpe, and, you know, you would absolutely destroy the minor league system if you gave away guys like Jones and Peraza, possibly guys like that. It'd be a disaster.
So if Yamamoto is a realistic option for the Yankees, what Julian, I want to ask you first, what's the highest contract you think we would give him?
I saw a nice projection. I like the 9 for 304. I know it sounds nuts because he hasn't thrown an MLB pitch, but I feel like that's where he's heading with all the teams in there.
Bowden wrote about that. Do you know where he got that information?
I think it's just, I don't know, honestly. I feel like it's good speculative guessing. Like, it's like industry speculation kinds of like how they talk about how the numbers might look. I know I've seen some stuff. It could be over $300 million. This isn't even factoring in the posting fee either, which is going to be more money. So this is absolutely insanity. The contract's separate from the fee, though. The Yankees are going to have to pay a fee if they sign him, too. Like, I think it's like $40-something million potentially in addition to what the contract's going to be. So it's going to be crazy. I think with the demand this guy has, it's going to be over $300 million. I think the max deal he could get is maybe even 10 years or $350 if someone really wants to go nuts. Like, it's not
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's going to go that nuts. I was going to say maybe 9. And I've switched it up too. I said the Yankees would go 280, but just the way it's looking now with the Dodgers and Ohtani stuff, if there's a real wrench in there, I think the most the Yankees would go with like 9-320. I don't think they go 10 years. Maybe the Dodgers do go nuts and do the 10 for 350, which I would think would be insane. But if they really want the guy, I mean, you know, good for them. But still hasn't thrown a pitch in the major leagues. And I saw some people saying that he might get north of 350. I don't think that's the case. That's like if somebody really wants to go crazy. But not 9-304 is fine, honestly.
Yeah, that works. I hope that – sort of like the deal the Yankees give him. And if it's anything more than that, then Dodgers, you can have him.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It really is.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. Because you need him. But at the same time, you know, like the trades out there they're good pitching, but it's not Yamamoto. It's guys that are proven, of course, but you would destroy the farm system.
The only reason the years is okay with me is because he's only 25 years old. That's why I could stomach the years. He's like the youngest pitcher on the market that's been like this highly touted, I guess, like this decorated. It's, even though he hasn't pitched in MLB, this guy's thrown the WBC. He's thrown the MPB, which is really good. He's faced some intense competition. In the WBC, he was really good too. I think he had like 12 strikeouts, like a 2.45 ERA. And people were talking about how the stuff kind of translates from the MLB to MLB. So okay. I'll go through some pitching stuff of like how things might switch when he comes to America. I know you guys probably heard that they use like a tack ball in the MPB, so it's a little bit different. It already has like some sticky stuff on it. We know we can't use sticky stuff over here anymore. The one thing that was interesting was that I saw his fastball could drop like 5 miles an hour. Like instead of 99, it might be like 94 to 95 in the MLB, like it was in the WBC. People were talking about how he needs to elevate his fastball in the zone more because the zone's higher in the U.S. The one thing that's going to translate really well is the splitter, though. They think the splitter could be the best pitch in the bigs, like the best splitter already as soon as he steps on the mound. So that's really noteworthy. They think the curveball's really good, could be like 90 percentile potentially over here. Yep. So that's nice. That could be a good third pitch. And then his cutter needs a lot of work. Like it's far from polished. He needs to get it better, but that's like his fourth pitch. We got so many guys that can help him with the cutter. Maybe he could hit up Mariano for that.
And you know, with you know, he throws 99, but anybody could turn around 99 in the bigs nowadays. If he's throwing 95, you know, down the middle, a little bit of movement, guys are still going to hit it out. So definitely Cole. You know, his big adjustment this year was elevating that fastball. Was a big pitch for him. I think the splitter is definitely going to be a game changer. I'm confident in that pitch, you know, hopefully when he's a Yankee. But that fastball, you can't leave it, you know. You have to elevate it enough to just, I guess, change the eye level of the hitters, because then it could, you could really play that split, and then that curve will help out a lot. But definitely elevate that fastball.
Yankees have been in on him for a very long time. I can't, you know. I don't know. I just, it can happen. It can happen. Like signs are pointing to happening. There's something else I wanted to say about him. I forgot though.
I mean, he's their guy flat out. There's been so many reports.
Yeah.
And I was really confident about them getting him once they gave up King and everybody. But at this point, it's the Dodgers.
The fucking Dodgers.
They really are on that.
The Dodgers are trying to Thanos MLB, and it's terrifying. They don't want Infinity Stone away from just blowing up the league. And if it's Yamamoto, God help us all, honestly.
Oh, what I was going to say, how amazing was it, too? He pitched a no-hitter when Cashman was in the building went to see him. That's just crazy.
Amazing. That was amazing, man. It was just, I guess, maybe it's meant to be. He's a Yankee. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a money thing. You give him the most money. I mean, we're about to find out real soon. I'm thinking by Tuesday he signs.
So back to our rotation. We got Cole, Rodon, Schmidt, Cortez. Who's your fifth guy?
Probably Montas, honestly. I think they'll sign him on the one-year deal. But you look at that, and if Rodon had a good year, I think we'd be talking about this, you know, in a whole different light.
Yes.
But the fact that he didn't, the fact that he didn't is a real issue. I mean, I don't know. In spring training, I actually saw him, and he said, you know, he could go. And then, you know, you saw the quotes from him saying that, you know, I want to pitch here in the postseason. That's why they paid me. But, you know, I mean, you rely on him to be your two is a little bit scary to me. If you really want to say, you know, we're going all in, you get Yamamoto. But, you know, the Montas deal could possibly happen. Do you think the Yankees possibly do a six-man rotation or move Schmidt back to the bullpen? That could be a possibility. But definitely think that Montas would be the five guy, but you got to hope that they land Yamamoto, man. He would be the A-plus offseason if they end up getting him.
I agree.
All right.
Yamamoto, and then picking him back, add Montas to the rotation as well. Yeah. Like, that'll be a great offseason for the Yankees.
Yeah, Montas seems to be lurking. You know, Jack Flaherty got a 1-for-14 yesterday, so he could fall somewhere in that range maybe. Yeah, like a 1-for-10, 1-for-12. Yep. I mean – that's possible. Even I think that's possible with or without Yamamoto. Either way, that deal could potentially happen. Because if you get Montas, you could go with six man, like Mario was saying, with Clark Schmidt being a little bit of the swing guy too. And I think Montas is definitely on the radar. They're probably waiting to see what happens with Yamamoto first. We've been advocates of bringing him back as well. So I don't think that would be a bad move. How about some prospects that could fill the void as the fifth? Some guys that now
Will Warren.
Warren Beeter,
guys like that. I did listen when the Yankees. We know how it is. Is Rodon gonna make all 32 starts this year? Most likely not. He's probably gonna pitch 25. That's the hope. Yeah. You know, if he pitches 25 with the high 3 ERA, I'm gonna count that as a win. Just how bad last season was. Luis Gil, he's making a comeback. It should be.
Yes.
He is. You see him working out every day. So you know he decided to be a Yankee, you know, pitch again for us after Tommy John. But, I mean, we'll see. I feel like a lot of the guys like Will Warren, Clayton Beater, they're going to have definitely two or three starts with all the injuries that happened with the Yankees starting rotation.
Andrés Gómez, are you going to bring him up? Because that's another name that's in the mix.
Yes, that's a possibility too.
Yep.
I think that, like, I actually like Warren better than Beater right now, but Beater's on the 40-man, so that complicates that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Gil, too, to come back as a dark horse, be out of the pen and make some spot starts. I think they still have a lot of depth down there, despite what we gave up. So I'm excited to see how that's going to shape out. The fifth spot could be an intense battle in camp, potentially.
Fitz, man. Sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Thorpe, too. Thorpe, man.
Yeah. We did end up losing a lot, man. And, like, I know a lot of people, like, you know, the Yankees farm system isn't great, but if you look at those guys, like, you know, Brito got roughed up a couple times, but, you know, Matt Blake works his wonders, man. You got guys like Vasquez. These guys still throw 98. You know, they got plus stuff. And the fact that people think they're throwing pieces, man, I would take them back in a heartbeat if you don't want them, San Diego. Like, we'll take them back.
Yeah. No, they're going to kill it out there.
Yeah, Thorpe is a big name, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think Thorpe will hit the big leagues next year, too, at some point. But what I was going to say, Mario, was Seve. We didn't talk about it. I want to know, like, how you felt about Seve being signed with the Mets and all of that.
I mean, it was definitely something something different. I thought he was going to end up going maybe to another AL team, possibly Tampa, maybe an NL team in the Marlins, just kind of go live in Florida. I know there was reports that he has, like, a house down there. He likes to be there when the season's over. But I guess he can, you know, stay living in New York. He's going to be a Met now. You know, wish him the best. At the end of the day, it's a business. Just the way it ended last year, you kind of felt like it was his last start with the Yankees. The Yankees were just, you know, looking another way. And Seve possibly wanted to come back, but at the end of the day, the guy just wants his money. And got his money with the Mets, gets a one-year kind of prove-it deal. And listen, if he kills it, maybe the Mets are out of it. And they're like, we could flip him for, you know, trade him elsewhere. And, you know, he can make some starts for a team in the playoffs. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he kills it, has like a 3 ERA next year and kills it for the Mets. Has a beard now, you know, enjoying that. But good for Seve, man. I'm happy for him. I hope he pitches well, except when he's against us, of course.
Seve is just like too many injuries. The Yankees had to go a different route. I know Montas was banged up too, but with Montas, it's really only one injury. Seve's had like so many different things. He hasn't pitched a full season. He's had fights with the medical staff like several different years. Like, they're not on the same page. Like, he had to get going, unfortunately. That's just what it had to be.
Yep.
So I could go through some more stats for Yamamoto. We didn't hit like some of the numbers.
Go for it.
So for Yamamoto last year, this guy was a stud. He was 17-6. He was a 1.16 ERA. He had 176 Ks, 170 innings over there. He's won 3 straight triple crowns. He's been the best pitcher out there for a while. And he's just an absolute bulldog out there. He's pitched there for, I think it's been like 7 years now. You've got 967 innings with 986 Ks and a 1.72 ERA. 2 no-hitters, one of them which we mentioned. So he had nothing more to prove over there. It was his time to come over here. He's basically been the best. So now he wants to see if he can do it in the MLB.
Yep.
Excited to see what he can do, man. Excited to see what he can do. Hopefully it's in Yankee pinstripes. Like I said, that splitter is going to be a huge difference, I feel like, man. As long as he can get that fastball elevated, if it truly is 95, elevated in the zone, you know, you could split. Curve, whatever you really want at that point. The cutter needs some work, so it's probably not going to be a pitch that he's really, really going to use this year, but definitely you could see it here and there, you know, throughout his starts.
I mean, like LA, like New York has a big Asian community as well.
100%.
You know, and, like, you know, when we had Matsui, we had Tanaka, like, they were out there. So it's a good fit. It's a good fit, either New York or LA. Either way, he's going to be great.
100%.
I hope that Tanaka and Matsui tip the scales in our favor. It seems like there was a lot of things going around. If they were or weren't at the meeting, I'm sure they both spoke to him, though. I'm pretty confident they at least just had conversations with him. I don't know if they were actually at the meeting, but hopefully those two have some good things to say. No, he likes both of them. And he is a Yankees fan. He's not a Dodgers fan. It's a misconception. Like, there's been pictures of him floating around the Yankees hats. Yep. I got him all excited about that. So I believe he is a Yankees fan.
I see Yoshi t-shirts, you know, like Yoshi from Mario Brothers. I see those Yoshi t-shirts going around.
I want that so badly. That'd be sick.
So you want to go over some players that we gained. We also, in these trades, we gained Gonzalez. We gained Vivas. Some stats for Gonzalez. He is Victor Gonzalez. Hold on. Pulling it up now. 28 years old, lefty reliever. He pitched 3 seasons for the Dodgers and made his debut in 2020. He pitched six and two innings in the playoffs with an ERA of 2.70. He helped the Dodgers also in the championship. The move for Gonzalez helps the Yankees fit their bullpen need, and Yankees parted ways with 4 pitchers, which to acquire Soto. So that helps the need that we had to fill in the bullpen with Gonzalez. Rivas is an infield prospect who can play second base, third. He signed a minor league deal with the Dodgers in 2017, and he got called up to AAA. So he did his stats in AAA, 226, 339, and 294 with a 638 OPS. In AA, he hit 280, 391, 436 with 12 home runs. And an OPS of 827. So those are 2 solid players that we picked up in the trade.
Yes, and we made the move yesterday too. We signed a former Pirates pitcher as well, who's going to get a minor league invite to Puerto Rican. So that's an interesting move. It's pulling it up now too.
I didn't know he was Puerto Rican. Yeah. Because of his last name.
Yeah, that is a weird Puerto Rican last name. But I think that's an interesting one. We know what Matt Blake could do. He's got 190 innings, 179 strikeouts, 4.6 ERA, 6 bullpen seasons with the Cubs and the Pirates. So he's had some big league experience. We've turned these guys into good pitchers before. So let's see. He's getting the camp invite as well.
Yeah, and going back to Victor Gonzalez, just a cheaper Wandy Peralta. I think you probably say goodbye to Wandy now.
Yeah.
Wandy's probably going to get a lot, or just not too much. Obviously not like Josh Hader money, but he's going to get, you know, a lot compared to what Gonzalez is making. I believe Gonzalez is only making $1 million a year. And you get Vivas as well. Vivas could very well be the second baseman in 2025 for the New York Yankees. I wouldn't be shocked at that. Also lefty bat. You know, him and Volpe up the middle, which – should be interesting, but obviously that's Glaber's spot until
I know.
until we see what happens. But you know, super excited to see what that kid's got. Like you said, he played some AAA ball.
Yeah.
Dodgers. So it should be interesting to see a lot of new faces at camp. Feels like a brand new team.
Seriously, very exciting. Are you going to spring training?
Yeah, I will be there. In mid-March, I'll be there for a couple of days.
That's what's up. Yeah,
we're trying to figure out our spring plans as well, so we'll see what happens with that. And Vivas is also a year younger than Sweeney. I think he fits the Yankees better than Sweeney.
Yeah,
because Sweeney, they didn't. Well, I'm actually curious what you think about this with Sweeney. And Vivas is also Venezuelan, so Spanish blood. But the Yankees are pumping it in, which is cool.
Let's go!
Had to replace Chappy with that.
Yeah.
Trey Sweeney, I mean, like, the Yankees never tried to change his position, which I found very, like, how do you draft a guy in the first round that have no plans to ever play him in the MLB? Like, I don't understand, like, what they really do.
That's what I'm saying.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see also with Spencer Jones. I mean, you kind of have the lock field, you kind of have the outfield locked up at this point. And it's like, you know, what's his plan? Is he even trying to move him to first base? Rizzo with an expiring deal coming in, I believe, just a team option. That should be interesting to see. But yeah, I believe that's your top prospect now, right? Well, Dominguez will be up with the team, so.
We'll see. You read my thoughts with Spencer Jones. Like, okay, what are we going to do with him now?
Yeah, I think it's like maybe that's the way to get Stanton out. You DH Soto and you have Spencer Jones in the outfield. I think that could be realistic potentially. And then you
let's just move Stanton to another state.
that's going to be impossible.
Well, here's the thing. I think he gets one more year this year. We've kind of shared that. I think if he doesn't do it this year, you just have to eat the money and cut your loss. He just ruins the roster flexibility in so many areas. Like, I don't want to lose Spencer Jones because of Giancarlo Stanton. That's ridiculous.
I feel you.
Facts. You get to choose which one you would rather have in your lineup or rotation or roster, whatever. Okay?
That works.
All right. I'll get that list now. I know it starts off with Jeter and Mo. That's your first one.
Jeter or Mo?
For this team?
Just in general.
Would you rather have Jeter or would you rather have Mariano Rivera in your team? Like, you have to pick one. You can only pick one.
I'll say for this team, I would say because we kind of need a closer, I would say Mo. I would say Mo. Obviously, Jeter being the captain, you know. Obviously, infield is a thing of need, but if we had Mo with this offense, we have a lockdown closer, man, I would feel so confident. I'd be more confident about this season. So Mo for this team.
Isn't it crazy we haven't, like, solidified or had that reserve closer since Mo?
It'll never really happen again. Obviously, you know, a lot of love to Jeter, the captain, but it's just
– yep.
We need that lockdown closure, man. Those three outs are the hardest to get in baseball. Even though I like Clay, he does have his moments where he's a little bit shaky. So,
yeah, I mean, you're not going to spend ridiculous money on Josh Hader. Maybe you could bring in Jordan Hicks. That might be realistic. But speaking of pitching, we'll stick with pitchers for the Orioles game. How about Pettit or CeCe?
I'd go Pettit. I've always been a big Pettit fan. Obviously, you know, CeCe was also part of 2009, but I have just some good memories with Andy Pettit. I just feel like he has that like calmness about him on the mound, which is I love. He gets fired up, but he's just very calm on the mound. So I probably go Andy Pettit.
He's a horse, and he's gonna get you postseason wins.
100%. 100%.
All right, this one's gonna hit home. Torres or Cano?
Oh man. Obviously, Cano's career ended, but you got it, you know, short because of the steroids and stuff like that. But, I mean, you got to go Cano, man. That swing, that was a sweet swing, man. That's one of the – if he would have stayed with the Yankees, I feel like his career would have ended so differently. But that took the money and the beer to Seattle. His career went to nothing, man, and the steroid stuff was just a bad overall look. But you got to go. You got to go Cano. Cano got me a World Series. You know, Gleyber hasn't yet, so.
Yeah, Robbie was the best. All right, so we'll go back to some Yankees in that era. Dylan Betances or David Robertson?
Oh, my God. Betances, man. I love him. I love Dylan, man. That 12-6 was so true, so real. Yeah, I know, you know, a couple people on Twitter were posting that, you know, him striking out Miggy, he was special. He was special with the Yankees.
Julian knew you would choose Betances.
I had a good feeling you went to Betances. I just like doing those two because I feel like they have some good similarities there.
Yeah.
But let's do Matsui or Tanaka.
Oh man. Oh man. I'm gonna go Matsui for one reason. He was the first person to throw me a baseball at the old Yankee Stadium.
Oh shit.
He was the first person to throw me a baseball. So I'm gonna go with Matsui, but Tanaka brought me a lot of good memories. Those postseason runs that we had, even though, you know, we'd make it to a World Series, there was a lot of good moments. Pitching game three against against Cleveland, that was big. But yeah, I'd have to go with Matsui, man. World Series MVP, how could you not?
That's amazing. He threw you a ball.
Yeah, first ever guy to throw me a ball. I saw him with my dad. He tossed me a baseball. So
oh my God, that's always awesome.
Thankful for Matsui.
He was great. He was a World Series MVP. He's also a staple of that last championship. Doesn't wait too long.
He's Godzilla. So,
Godzilla the thriller.
Last one. Paul O'Neill or Bernie Williams?
Oof. It's tough. That's so tough. That's so tough. I'm only gonna go. I didn't watch them play too much. Obviously, I know both of them did for the organization. Damn, Bernie played the guitar amazing. He plays the guitar amazing. Follow me. I don't know why that name, the Warrior. I love that name. Like, I remember his, you know, his final game of the old thing was like Paul O'Neill, and he's like looking around. I don't know. That's like so like unique, man. Yankee fans are the best, and I guess that's why I go with Paul O'Neill. But it's so close, man. Wow. Like Bernie had some great moments with the Yankees, and actually I met him once. He was a super nice dude. But I'm Paul O'Neill as well. But probably go Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill's legit, man. Okay. All right, so good choices. Those were hard. Speaking of, I want to know what's like the favorite game you ever been to. What's your favorite game?
Definitely, it completely changed my outlook on how I look at the Yankees. I remember 2009, kind of after A-Rod retired. I took like I wasn't as into it. I would go to like two or three games a year. You know, the stadium's pretty close. I would say the wild card game in 2017. Going to that game with my dad, it was my first ever playoff game. My dad actually had tickets, he told me. He had tickets 2003, game seven, when Aaron went at the walk-off. But he said he couldn't take me because the old Yankee stadium was so hostile, and they apparently would throw batteries on the field and things like that. And he didn't want me like around that kind of environment. He said leaving the game would have been insane. But the kid that – I wasn't even 2 years old. So – I was so bitter, and I was like, dude, I have to go to a playoff game with you. So 2017, that wild card game, the fact that Sevy was – that was when I was really developing, like pitching and things like that. We went to that game, and the fact that we fell down 3-0, and then my dad was basically, you know, we're going to come back, this, that, and the third. It's one of the main reasons why I'm super optimistic, because that was a win-or-go-home postseason game. And although we didn't go to the World Series, that was a memorable – playoff run, and I was there for the beginning of it when it felt like the season was dead after five batters. So I would say the wild card game against the Twins in 2017.
It's always the Twins, right?
Yeah, always. Thankful for them, man. Thankful for Minnesota.
That game was special, man. I was there too, and it was just it was a fun atmosphere. We all had that thought. And then 2019, Didi does it again to him. So I also know you've traveled a lot to ballparks. We went to St. Louis together last year. That was a dope trip. So what's your favorite road stadium so far?
Oh, man, that's so tough. It was Camden Yards, but I feel like the wall kind of took the beauty away a little bit from that ballpark. Man, I have to say St. Louis. Dude, St. Louis was super, super, super nice. I really did enjoy St. Louis. Pittsburgh is also a nice ballpark that I enjoyed. But I had to get to St. Louis. That backdrop with the arch in the back, I mean, there's nothing like it. Even though the series was a disaster, the fans, they were cool. The ballpark's cool. The area is nice. I enjoyed it, definitely.
That field looks awesome.
It was.
And Pittsburgh also.
Yes. It's very nice. Those people are starving for a good baseball team, but being there, it's super nice there too as well.
Favorite food at the stadium? At the stadium.
Oh, I like to get my chicken wing. Yes, chicken wings. Chicken
wings. Yeah. Yo. Oh man, can't wait. We want to know. We ask everyone that we have on, what is your Yankees Mount Rushmore?
That's tough. Mo Jeter, Ruth, those are problematic. I never watched a play, but I guess DiMaggio.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay. Funny. Everyone does the same thing. Mo, Cheater, Ruth. And then you have anything going on with NY Underground or Bronx or Nothing?
Gonna start up the podcast in a couple weeks, but you know, going a couple live streams there. I enjoy that, but I'm just ready for the season, man. I know a lot of Yankee fans are just kind of just, you know, we got Soto already. Once Yamamoto happens, I feel like you're going to be counting down the days. That's how everybody's going to be, just counting down the days, ready to go. And nothing, just after last season, I'm just excited for what this season holds. I know the AL is going to be tough. still got a couple of really good teams. You know, Texas winning it. You still got the Astros. You got our own division that still the AL beast. It's still tough with the Orioles. You know they're gonna be good, and you know we'll see. The Orioles didn't win a playoff game last year, so you know they're gonna wanna you know have a chip on their shoulder coming into the season. Tampa, you know they're gonna find a way, even though they traded a couple guys, they're still gonna find a way. And now that there's definitely a couple other teams that are gonna give us trouble, but just excited for the season, and I'm ready to go.
So Mario, we really want to show love to you and the NYY Underground team. We really like too. Like you guys have been very supportive of us throughout the way. So we like all you guys over there. Keep grinding. Maybe we could do some more cross collabs in the future or something.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Thank you guys. You know, for having me on. I love the work you guys do. Appreciate you guys. You guys are one of the, you know, the first kind of people that, you know, I met on Yankees Twitter. So it's always fun to be on here with you guys and chop it up. But I'm sure we will throughout the season because, you know, it's going to be, fingers crossed, God willing, it's going to be a good season for us. And the end goal is 28. You know, Yankees made it out to be like that. The fans are, you know, we're starving for a World Series. I mean, just to make it there. I know we want to win, but just to make it there, man, it's been so long. And the AL is going to be tough, but, you know, we're excited. Fan base is excited, and we're ready to go.
Let's do it. Thank you again, Mario, for coming on. Everyone follow Mario Gomez on Twitter. You probably already do. Later, guys. Peace.